Slade from Mid City. I pressed the wrong button, so I did the wrong thing here. So we're talking with Milt Jones.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
That was all
and
like
Justin Waters and Bob Houlihan. So we're starting all over again.
Oh, man.
I know. We'll do it again. Now Justin's going to his phone now because he's so fucked up here.
Hey, we didn't record any of that stuff.
No, we didn't record any of it.
That's
so we're
going
to do it again. I know, it's fresh. Well, it's like everything in this music movie.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're talking about your involvement in the music scene here and how you started in 1998.
Yes.
And
as a promoter, independent promoter.
Independent promoter.
And as you know, you've been a part of this music scene
right.
for a long, long time. You and I have known each other for a long time.
Since all the Destroy Music Festivals
exactly.
back in the 80s.
And you worked in the bookstore.
Worked in the bookstore, yeah.
We've known each other for a long time. And, you know, when, you know, your group at the time, Tinnitus, was like, would play. And,
right.
and you went through some frustrating times, too.
Well, being in Atlanta is a very frustrating experience. That's kind of what we're talking about, because Justin does Freedom Fest out in Stone Mountain and does Sounds from the Pocket. And you do Euphonic Productions, and you brought in... oh my God!
It's a
roster of all of the major
the people I wanted to see,
free jazz yeah. people that you wanted to see. I mean, can you just name some of these people that you brought in?
Brought Evan Parker in, Derek Bailey in, Peter Brosman many times, Frank Witkowski, Peter Kowald. I mean, just you know, everybody wanted kind of ICP Orchestra,
right.
Sam Rivers Trio.
Derek Bailey.
Derek, yeah. We was, I think
you said that.
Yeah,
okay.
We said Derek Bailey.
Shaking Rays from
Shaking Ray Levi's. Just, you know, regional stuff, international stuff. That's the most simple. We did the first show. That's the most simple.
It was packed. Absolutely packed.
500 people showed up. Sold out.
Wow.
Turned people away.
It was incredible.
Let's do it again.
Well, would it be as big a crowd? I mean, they've
nobody shows up
here
for them anymore. That's
I know, the, after the first event.
The Menacing Return, they played at the Earl like three times, and it's like every time it's just like the crowd gets smaller and smaller
right.
and smaller.
Yeah.
And I think we just got lucky with that show, and they were like at the tip, and the only thing they had out was stuff on that PSF label, which is a Japanese label,
right.
and that one thing on Squealer,
yeah.
and they were just like a buzz band. It was a Monday night,
yeah,
ironically.
That's right. Yeah.
They packed the place the night before they played at New Orleans. And they maybe 30 people there.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, I tell you what, it's getting bigger for them in other cities every
yes.
year.
But yeah. here, it's like...
It doesn't
maybe
happen.
It's the Earl.
Yeah.
But where else could they play? That's another thing. Where else? I mean, there's not many venues anymore.
Right.
I mean, not like it was.
Echo's gone.
Well,
Echo's
I'm wondering
gone.
If the venues aren't more like yours, Justin, like house parties, basically, where
there are a lot of houses popping up.
And,
Rock House.
The Rob's House thing.
Rob's House.
These are local.
Hammock.
These are all local.
My house.
Your house.
Black Castle.
Which is called Black Castle.
Or Le Chateau Noir.
Right. And you're doing the Freedom Fest in September, two weekends, right?
Yeah,
say
Freedom
that
Fest
again.
3 is September 7th and 8th. Freedom Fest 4 is September 14th and 15th.
And they're going to be, like you said earlier, before I forgot to push the right button, 50, 60 bands, local bands,
yeah,
all local bands.
Yeah, mostly.
But,
yeah.
you know, we're talking about Atlanta not being a good venue, but, I mean, if you have 50 or 60 bands playing, I mean, that's pretty incredible, really, people
there's
doing
a lot,
stuff.
There's a lot of artists here.
Yeah.
There are. I agree with that wholeheartedly, but there's a lot of artists, but there's not a lot of audience.
Right.
That's the kind of... I mean, how did that... Okay, recently there was a show with, like, Zandosis, Magic Cicada
right.
here. How'd that do?
Was it the Noise Show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where Jarbo played. A lot of people came.
A lot of people came to see Jarbo because she gets written up, you know, and sound.
And then the Blossoming Noise guys are also doing stuff, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what the turnout is for some of their shows, but they have a label and they also bring people into town.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so what is it about Atlanta that seems to be... I mean, we're talking about Tonic closing down. And the guy, we're outside iDrum now talking after GFE has played and Moth Guts. And Moth Guts is from Brooklyn, and I asked them, and apparently you asked them too, how the scene was there, and they're saying, well, you may get 15 people for a show. And it's an excellent band. It's an incredible band.
Super talented.
Can't say too much going on.
Yeah. So what is it about the times now? This is what I want to get to. What is it about if things have changed? And Justin, you've been doing this since when, basically? Approximately.
Having shows at places I live since like 99.
Well, Mills has been doing it since 98, so have you seen any changes in the audience? Because
no, it was always like that.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Nils and I used to talk about this, how to increase an audience, but we've done everything we can to increase an audience, so I don't know what you do after that
I think it's like a name recognition type thing.
I think that's true.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And which is like sort of sad, but it's okay. Well, I'll use this as a recent example. Peter Brosman played here recently.
Right.
Good-sized crowd, but folks equally as talented and or interesting, like, say, Frank Mitkowski play like a month previous.
Excellent show, right.
And there's maybe, if you're lucky, 20 people.
Right.
Brosman draws like close to 100, and Mitkowski shows, obviously, I mean, to me, he's a better show. I mean, I did not enjoy that last Brosman show whatsoever. The worst show I've ever seen of him.
Oh, interesting.
But then at the same time, previously I saw like the ICP Orchestra at Oglethorpe 2 weeks, and then they pretty much packed play. So,
and they charge heavy duty for
the
tickets,
it's like $35
right?
bucks a ticket, yes.
Right, yeah.
But people went, you know, I don't know how much was a corporate sponsorship or university involvement, mm-hmm. but a frustrating thing for me is like university involvement is like pretty much nil here.
Right.
I mean, to get a workshop or some kind of like something from any, I mean, Atlanta's is the home of like Emory, Agnes Scott, Georgia State.
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
Oglethorpe.
And, but, you know, it's like knocking your head against the wall to get any kind of like, you know, and they book shows like, you know, a year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give, you know, you can't just kind of like say, well, this guy's, you know, a 6
right.
months, you know, advance is like, is too little.
Right.
And they have like, I mean, like say the new season for like Emory has like Kronos Quartet. We all know, and Woman, which is the Pippa player, that's got to be an expensive gig.
Yeah.
But they can afford, obviously Emory can afford something like that. Or like you look at the First Center schedule or the Rialto schedule at the, you know, which is affiliated with Georgia Tech. They got money, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, have you ever thought about hooking up with either of you, hooking up with some other...
Obviously,
you've hooked up with iDrum, but that does...
Yes.
It's a good venue, but it doesn't...
And prior to that, between the venue shifts from the original iDrum to this present location, we did some shows at Earthshaking Music, which was a great room.
Right. There's some good shows there.
And great shows, but eventually, they started, like, diminishing. I mean, I noticed at first it was like, you know, the audience was like really, you know, nicely sized. But then just like toward the end, it was like nobody would show up.
Well, is that because, and we've talked about this before, because the name, you bring in the Derek Baileys, the Evan Parkers, people want to see that. And then after they see that, those are the names that they know.
Yeah.
They're not going to see like Mothguts, who played Night from Brooklyn, because,
exactly.
I mean, they're a great band, but nobody really, they don't have any name recognition.
Exactly.
And with the noise scene, it's even worse, really.
It
I mean, people know Wolf Eyes. I just saw this.
Or like No Neck Blues Band, or Jackie, a Motherfucker,
right.
or
Sunburn Hand of Man, or whatever.
But there's plenty of bands doing the same
stuff. Yeah.
Same type thing. Merzbow's another big name. You could bring, you know, or Kiji Hino or something
right.
like that. You know, there's plenty of folks doing the same quality work, but they don't get nearly the recognition. And nobody seems to really give a shit.
Right. And I would assume that the noise scene is even worse in that respect, because even though I just read an article a couple of months ago from the Village Voice about the impact of noise on, like, rock,
pop
like
music.
Radiohead, pop music, Radiohead, blah, 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 blah.
You can hear it in hip-hop.
You can hear it in hip-hop.
Yeah.
You hear it all over the place, and yet the people who, you know, kind of do it purely don't get much recognition for it.
But that's
much
great
more
thing about it.
Yeah, and it's much more difficult music when it's done pure, you know.
Yeah,
right? Oh, definitely.
So... I mean, what do you do to you try to? You're on the board of iDrum now. Has that helped any? Because you can program events here as well as do things in your house at the Black Castle. Is it any different in that respect?
That's tough. No, I don't know. Yeah, it's always a tough decision. I get a show offer whether to put it on an iDrum at my house.
But does it make any difference with the audience, whether it's at your house or whether it's here, basically?
I think that maybe it might, that it could.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't yet.
What would be a determining factor? I mean, is it lack of publicity? Is it Atlanta is a very middle-class sort of city? You know, a lot of corporate people, and they're not really interested in...
I'll tell you what, I run the Acid Mothers MySpace page now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I've posted lately shows at iDrum.
Right.
Bulletin. Just send out a bulletin. It goes to all 12,000 people that are friends with Acid Mothers tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, I mean, what I mean is always. I don't even know what that means. People will write to me and say, "Oh my God, what is this iDrum?" And I'll go look at their profile, and they're from Marietta.
That's depressing.
They're from all sorts of suburbs all the way around
that's
Atlanta.
That's wild.
And you're like, "Oh, well, the iDrum is here." And, you know, I'm checking. You know.
So, but really, then having a MySpace page, really, a lot of the bands that come through here, they have MySpace pages, and the only way anybody knows about them is through MySpace now,
yeah.
Right? So if you don't do that, then you're...
Well, it's instant. You can go and look at photos, you can go and listen to the music right away.
Right.
That's a particularly good thing,
actually, but...
It's really great.
But I'm wondering if it can't be a bad thing, too, because you don't have any stars that develop from that. That is the Brotsmans, you know. People don't want to come out to see Brotsman because maybe they don't have a MySpace page. Hell, I don't know.
I don't know if he has a MySpace page either, but he's got a name. He's been around for, you know, 40-some-odd years.
Well, man, there was a good crowd here that night for it, you know.
There was a good crowd for the... Well, the Elements.
Catherine says hello.
Right.
She regrets.
And Japanese New Music Festival.
That's right.
She didn't come to
Acid
Mothers members.
Yeah,
it was a good time. There were a ton of people there that night.
Well, and the Table of Elements people have a really big reputation. So is that what's lacking in Atlanta? Is it kind of
four different
promo kind of?
Yeah, there definitely isn't a reputation. Anybody you talk to about Atlanta will say hip hop first.
Mm-hmm. It's not known as.
I'm not even familiar with that scene or what's going on or where it's going on or why it's popular.
Yeah.
Or what? But that's the impression that people from out of town have is crunk.
Right. It's crunk.
Hip hop.
Well, I don't know. You know, somebody contacted me and said, well, you know, iDrum is the center of the noise scene, you know. Now, whether that means, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. It only means that 20 people are going to come out.
It probably does mean 20 people. But where else is there? And, you know.
But that is the noise scene.
That is the noise scene. But in the Southeast, that's another problem is the Southeast. Where else are they going to play besides? I mean, to get down to Atlanta,
right.
Where are they going to play?
It's an effort, right.
I mean, is there a place in, like, South Carolina, you know, Tennessee, or, you know, North Carolina for them to get, you know, get come this way? God forbid if you live in Florida.
Right. Well, I know it's frustrating for you. Both of you, and you've said that you're going to be quitting.
No,
you're not going to quit because you said that at one point.
I have said it many times for
many
years and years.
So what keeps you going? Why do you continue doing
the music?
I'm still here.
Loving the music. Now,
I'll take it with me wherever I go.
Yeah,
I want to move, but.
Well, there's something challenging to being in an area like Atlanta, you know? It's kind of raw territory to develop. I mean, the fact that nobody gives a fuck means actually you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I mean, Atlanta, okay, I've been here 20 years now this year. And Atlanta's like changed, so doubled in population. It's like almost 6 million people here.
Yeah.
But the town, in terms to me, artistically, has gotten very conservative.
Right.
In terms of music, art, cinema, et cetera.
Right.
But that's the frustrating thing because there's more people here. You think there'd be more people like would be interested in this sort of stuff,
right?
And there seems to be like less.
Well, Justin was saying that he does a MySpace page and he hears some people maybe don't even know about. So the question
just don't know.
The question is, how do you notify these people? Because you've got a mailing list and that's not really working for you.
I mean, you find a production as a mailing list. I use the Art News list. I do them as a mailing list. But I mean, how many people does that affect? But I mean, I think most people just hit delete. Automatically, and don't even really pay attention to it. I mean,
first of all, you have to be signed up to it.
Yes.
And so if you signed up to it, you already know about it.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Another first thing, local press coverage, like right now compared to when I first came here, is like abysmal. There is no, I mean,
nothing.
Fortunately, there might be a blurb here and there in the Creative Loafing. Atlanta General Constitution like mentions nothing whatsoever outside the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of hard, you know. Radio is no help really whatsoever. I mean,
right.
I think radio here is actually really very healthy. I mean, between like the lower
WREK, man.
Between the lower end of the dial, you have like between like ABE, CLK, RFG, REK, and
WRAS.
Yeah. I mean, you can pretty much listen to hear anything you want to hear.
Exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, I think radio in Atlanta is super healthy.
Yeah,
it's great.
But response from, you know, I mean, here we, you know, how many people showed up for this show?
I don't know, 15 maybe?
We got a little press. Like I said, you know, good show, we had a good set. Well, they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Very, you know, but I don't know. It's like beating your head against the wall.
So it's hard to say what to do to get people notified about it, other than to set up a MySpace page and kind of.
But I think MySpace is almost like overkill now. Nobody, I mean, everybody's on MySpace.
True.
I mean, everybody has a MySpace page, and it's like, I mean, we have a MySpace page now.
Right.
I mean, we're not getting
GFE,
a whole lot of GFE has a MySpace page. It's well done, but we're not getting a whole lot of hits and stuff like that. It's like a social scene,
right?
And it's more conducive to a club thing like, say, Lenny's or a Drunken Unicorn or something like that, not towards you know, intelligent, difficult kind of music.
Do you find that the visual arts folks come out? Because we post it on Art News all the time. It doesn't seem to be much response from Art News.
I think as what you and I have talked about before, there's a difference between like the visual arts crowd and the music crowd, mm-hmm. and they don't really interact very well,
right?
And they never have,
which is kind of odd, really, because you think of visual arts as being exploratory, interested in new kinds of expression, and yet at the same time they don't really show up.
But say if Moth Guts played it like an art opening, but there's free wine, probably a whole lot of damn people there.
Right, the social scene is everything. Really.
Yeah, I mean, the art scene, it's not just that. I know that's everywhere. I mean, an art opening is like a big deal, and I think it's a big deal. But a music, apparently a concert experience is not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I try to like, I'm constantly trying to drum up people to come see this show, not because we played here, but because it's an interesting show and people should, you know, experience new things.
Right. Well, you know, people, visual artists or whoever, you know, they want relaxing sorts of things. And either free jazz or noise really is not a relaxing experience. You got to be there with it. You can't, like, drink wine and wander around and talk to people. So it cuts out a lot of people.
It's not a social scene. That's definitely not. But it's no more so than modern classical stuff.
Right. Well, let me ask you another question. It's not a social scene, but is it primarily a male scene?
Yes.
And why is that?
I have no idea.
I mean, there are a few women involved in it, and we know a few have come through iDrum, and you know, you can name them on a couple of hands, probably, you know, and free jazz or noise.
Or modern classical or, you know, punk rock or whatever. It's like there's just not been a whole lot of women involved.
Right.
I don't know why that is. I mean, maybe that women are turned off by the aggressive nature of the music. I don't know.
It's very aggressive music. You have to say that.
I mean, I work with a lot of women. They're not too interested in what we do whatsoever. And I don't want to, like, stereotype or, you know, pigeonhole, but that's just like they're going like, right.
Well, here's another question. Just racial-wise, also, it's a very white music.
Yes.
I mean, we're in Atlanta, the hip-hop capital of, you know, the United States, basically. Mm. And you see very few African-Americans involved or, you know, whatever ethnic group, you know, you want to talk about. So what's that all about? You ever thought about that?
I think it's because, like, when jazz became an art music, at one time it was a popular music, it was a dance music, and it was like, you know, social music. Well, once it became an art music through the bebop and beyond the free jazz, it lost that audience and rhythm and blues took its place.
Right.
Then it became a whole different thing. I mean, you can go to like, and we'll even like use somebody like totally conservative like Wynton Marsalis or Branford Marsalis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You go there, it's a majority white audience. But you go see some like smooth jazz guy like Kenny G or like Dave Koz, it's a majority black audience. I don't know why that is, but it just seems to be the case that I mean, as someone who worked in an independent record store for like 12 and a half years in town.
Same thing.
It's like, you know, we could have all this like great Coltrane CDs, but, you know, we'd sell more Kenny G CDs, and that was really depressing.
Right. And how about the noise scene? I'm sure that's the same for the noise
locally,
scene.
Locally, you got Alias and Zano.
And that's about it.
And they're fucking on the spot.
Right.
And intense and crazy and totally creative.
And the sax player tonight was on the spot, too.
Yeah, he was actually
really insane.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's great.
I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, as somebody's done, you know, how many women have been involved in the shows you've done? I mean, and as
maybe less than a quarter.
Yeah,
but yeah,
definitely. That's frustrating too. I mean, both points you mentioned are very frustrating. I don't really understand why, but as somebody who works with I work in a, you know, pretty big environment with, you know, a cross section of folks, and
tell me where your work environment.
My normal daily routine.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, I mean, the last show GFE played, I mean, most of the audience was comprised of my coworkers, most of which were women. They were like, kind of like, a couple of them were like into it, and a couple of them were like really put
what
off.
What the heck is this?
A couple of them particularly put off by Bob and you, like you scared the shit out of them.
I don't know why.
But they don't understand. But a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, there's always been humor in free jazz or noise or punk rock that a lot of people just don't get.
Right.
They just see the aggression and just hear what they can perceive as noise, and they're totally put off. But there's always been like a sense of humor involved. Mm-hmm.
Well, and women can be aggressive too.
In
art and in music.
Absolutely.
But I guess there are prohibitions against expressing that aggression, because then they're not being womanly or not being feminine.
Not living up to their like whatever the ideal may be, wherever.
And noise and free jazz really kind of presses the buttons and the boundaries of a lot of people. And it's,
I guess so.
You know, it's difficult.
I mean, even like, I mean, I could talk to like about jazz, and the word jazz can put people off.
Right. That's interesting too. Why is that the case? Jazz is like the world music.
I think a lot of folks will hear like the term jazz and think of like the Kenny G's, and they're like, oh, I really don't like that. But then they'll associate like the Thelonious Monks and the Coltranes with something old.
Right.
And a lot of times, something old is perceived as not being good.
Right. Not being hip, not being with it, and
I think it's prevalent in cinema, which is like it's like half the movies are like remakes of stuff,
right?
Be it like a horror movie or whatever.
So you think there's a kind of an atmosphere, not just in Atlanta, all over, that has to do with this kind of disregard of these kinds of music. So I guess the question I want to ask you is, what exactly is that? I mean, where does that come from? How has that come into existence? You know, because when the rock first started, you know, you had people. It was like it was really hot. Right,
the blues.
It is high, but I mean, it's lost a lot of its
luster.
Luster, and noise has come along, and as we said earlier, you got Radiohead and various other groups that incorporate some of these elements. Is that all people will take? Is
Wilco?
Yeah,
yeah. Both fine bands, I think, but you know, I mean. But I think both are going to like reining back the noise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially the latest Wilco is like a lot more subdued and kind of like more what you know people would expect from that band.
So, what's the future you think of these kinds of music? If you had to kind of think 5-10 years,
I think a better question is, what is the future?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And how would you address that? Answer your own question.
Fucked up.
Right. And does noise, maybe noise addresses that, and people don't want to know that it seems to be a fucked up future. Right?
I'd agree with that. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't want to like pigeonhole again, but a lot of people don't want to like be forced to think. It's like the standard thing is like, I know a lot of folks, if it's a movie subtitle, they say, I don't want to go to a movie because of subtitles.
Right.
Like, well, it's like, that's the way this film was presented by the director, the actors. Why do you want it subtitled?
Right.
And I think noise is kind of like an out in free jazz, improv, whatever, is kind of like is the same sort of boat.
Right.
I mean, people do not want to be confronted with, I mean, they want to relax.
Right.
I mean, it's a pressure-filled, you know, society.
Sure, even more so than now than it was.
Oh hell yeah!
20 years ago,
I mean, it's a dog eat dog world.
Right.
And most people, for their like, you know, leisure time, do not want to like be confronted with reality or an alternative of any sort.
Way
whatsoever.
Of dealing with it,
yeah.
Right?
They want to be relaxed and soothed and massaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, orally, mentally, you know, whatever. They don't want to be forced to like. I mean, it's not even a force issue. It's just that they don't want to like confront the issues.
Right. Well, it doesn't.
I mean, that's orally with an A.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And politically, I mean, let's face it. Politically, this could be in turmoil.
Right.
I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, not to like get too political, but President Bush is enjoying the least amount of public support of any president since like Richard Nixon during the whole Watergate thing. I mean, I think he's a point below or point above in terms of like the popular polls. And but people are still like sucking up and going to see like Transformers and, you know, paying like 70 million bucks the first weekend to see Transformers or whatever.
Yeah. Jeff Rackley just walked up, who is the stellar sound man for
Stellar.
Stellar.
Stound.
He's done more stound work for avant-garde musics than probably anybody in Atlanta.
So, avant-garde.
Yeah. So, Jeff, what's your take on the scene in Atlanta? I mean, to you, it must look pretty damn healthy since you record all this stuff, you do the sound for it, you know?
Well, I don't know that much about the scene, really. I mean, all I see is what's here.
Right.
So.
Now, what's your impression about just what you see here at iDrum?
I think it's pretty interesting, for the most part.
And you see a lot of people coming through, I know.
Yeah, sometimes.
sometimes less interesting.
Sometimes less people.
Right. Well, that's kind of what.
Talking audience.
It's kind of what Milton.
Well,
Justin,
I guess I'm talking audience.
Right.
You know, sometimes there's not enough people for these things.
Right. Well, we're talking about some way to rectify that situation, although there doesn't seem to be any easy way to do it. So.
Fire.
Fire and brimstone.
Fire and brimstone.
Hail and grenades.
The quality of the music is really high right now.
It's incredible.
I mean, it's just incredible, all levels, it's like, improv, noise, whatever. Very high, but it's the audience that's diminishing, and that's seems to be the problem.
Right.
These folks, like, you know, GFB or even Malkus, are like willing to do this for like 15 people a night on the road. It's pretty impressive.
But really, when it comes down to it, the audience, I mean, other than a money factor, the audience is not really, it never has been germane. If you're thinking about bebop, you know, Charlie Parker playing, you know, some dive, there may have been 20 people there listening to him, 30 people, so... at the beginning of difficult music, or Stravinsky for that matter, you know, people
or Ives,
you know,
or anybody.
So, you know, I don't know what we expect from it. You know, we're not going to be Britney Spears.
People are so caught up in status quo,
right,
that they're not even paying attention to that right. President Bush is President Bush,
right,
or that Moth Guts is playing on,
right, right,
or Simpsons movie opened this past weekend. It's just a big blur, or Lindsay Lohan got arrested, or whatever.
Right, or Paris Hilton went to jail. That's kind of what we care about more than anything else. Well, you've painted a very depressing picture of alternative arts in Atlanta, especially the oral version. So screw both of you.
Great stuff going on.
There is some great stuff going on.
There is good stuff going on.
I mean, it's,
and great stuff.
Come the fuck out, or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
But it's like we talked about the radio. It's like nobody I know listens to the radio. And the radio has always been healthy here in Atlanta, always, and probably more so now. I mean, you say WRK, they go like, "What the hell is that?"
Right.
You mean 104 FM, whatever that is.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't know what that is. I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, also, people have more opportunities to like cocoon themselves. They got the 50-inch TV sets. They got the SUVs. They can hide away the video games. You know, and the web. They can kind of hide away from everything. They don't have to go out unless.
I think Atlanta kind of
screwballs.
They have to
go out to get meth.
Yeah. Well, yeah, get meth or get their prescriptions or whatever it is.
I think Atlanta as a city kind of, you know, encourages that too. I mean,
right.
You come, you know, you live in the suburbs, you come to work, you know, you spend like half an hour in, you know, one-way commute.
You don't want to come back in.
Exactly. Even though there seems to be like a push to like more people live in town. They don't seem to want to go anywhere but like Atlantic, you know, Atlantic Station or like.
Right.
It's becoming
Mall.
More expensive to live in.
It is
since the Olympics.
I mean, more like Manhattan to live.
It's gotten insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it changes the demographic of who's here.
Right.
I mean, it's also a transient.
Very transient. Very corporate. Mid-level corporates. Yes.
Right. There's no industry whatsoever. But okay, I've been a homeowner for like 9 years in East Atlanta. My home is like doubled in retail value. I mean, in resale value, but nobody wants to buy a house.
Right.
They want to buy like a new slick condo on Moreland Avenue instead of like buying a like, you know, solid, you know, constructed house in East Atlanta, like, you know, 40 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand that kind of thinking whatsoever, or like Memorial or wherever.
Right.
Instead of like, you know.
Well,
becoming part of the neighborhood association, whatever.
Well, something seems remiss in the culture. Something problematic in both free jazz and more noise music, I think.
Which
kind of deals
reflecting our society, I think, as a whole.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Reflection.
And it sort of has always been, but now it's like, I think with the internet age and, you know, the information age, it's more prevalent for like people to get heard, known.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll say these Wolf Eyes, like, they're good, but they're not like Godhead or anything like that. I mean, they're fine, you know, nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah.
There's a million bands doing the same thing they're doing, but probably better.
Right. Well, you have to think also, one thing that's different from Atlanta, from someplace like London or New York, you know, London's got Wire magazine. You read that, you think, oh my God, I'm living in the sticks. We don't get any of this shit. What the hell's going on? In fact, it's even hard to look at it sometimes.
But even the U.S. has Signal to Noise, which I think
is
a better quality publication than Wire.
It's good, yeah.
But at the same time, you've got, I mean, I don't want to like diss people, but you got like people like Black Lips and Deer Hunter getting like major press from like, you know, people like Pitchfork, and they're fine, but there's like lots of bands and people doing stuff just as interesting as those guys are.
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah, don't believe the hype. Exactly.
Well, media always wants to pick out somebody, you know, in order to be able to.
Yeah,
it's easier to deal with.
There's always going
to
be more famous shit than there is obscure. Like, well, you know. More